I remember my dad on his deathbed. I asked him if he had any regrets, and he said, immediately, I wish I would have won more souls to the Lord in my ministry. It takes a passion. I want to talk about that tonight, about winning souls. I've titled the message, Wisdom for Witnessing. And I believe the Lord just gave me these four main points to share this evening with you. You know, it's one of the main reasons why God left his people on earth. Jesus likened it to fishing, of course, for men. And he also likened it to farming, sowing seed. It goes by different names. Sometimes it's called witnessing, soul winning, evangelizing. It's to be part of what has been called carrying out the Great Commission, based on, of course, some of Jesus's last words to the 12 before he ascended back home to his Father. It's really obedience to one of Jesus's last commands. It's the responsibility not just of preachers or missionaries, but it's the responsibility of every single believer, the entire church of the Lord Jesus Christ, all over the world, every individual, no matter how long they've been saved, how well or how little they know of the Bible, where they are located, whatever their circumstances are. It's a responsibility that sees all people as prospects for salvation. It's a responsibility that gives Jews the priority, but sees Gentiles equally. All believers are to be seeking to bring people to saving faith in Christ. It's an absolute non-negotiable in the Christian life. The Lord gave me four important truths that I want to share with you that I think will allow us to be effective in witnessing. Wisdom for witnessing. Let me pause a moment and let's seek the Lord, and then I'll share these thoughts with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together tonight. Lord, I do pray that there would be real focus on this matter that is before us, and that perhaps clarity would be given, and balance would be established, and motivation, and that we would be compelled as a result of just some thoughts tonight that come from you. So Lord, what you spoke to my heart, then speak from my heart to the hearts of your people, and do it, Lord, to accomplish your purpose and glorify your name. Ultimately, we do pray and thank you for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Four things that I want to share with you about witnessing. The first one is this. Witnessing is a life, it is a lifestyle. It's not methodology. Witnessing is a lifestyle. It's not methodology. You know, it's fine to have a particular way to witness the presentation of a plan of salvation. But you know what witnessing is? Witnessing is really the overflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have a real living relationship with him, you can't contain it. It just will come out. And it will come out in various ways. Living a Bible-based, spirit-filled life that is intricately linked, an integral link of godly living along with verbal testimony. That's what I'm talking about. Witnessing is lifestyle, not methodology. It's personal, and it's personal in two different ways that I want to talk about. Number one, It's personal as it pertains to you. Your personal daily goal ought to be, as a believer, to reach lost people. Is that your goal? It ought to be a daily goal with every one of us. We want to reach lost people. We ought to be praying for lost people every day. We ought to be living each day seeking lost people. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So if you're not a fisher of men, could it really be said that you're following Jesus? We have to take seriously our personal responsibility to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. It's a personal thing pertaining to you, but also it's a personal thing pertaining to others. That is, that we see people everywhere as our mission field, and none are excluded. It's not that you necessarily have to verbally witness to every single person you cross paths with, but you should never discriminate against any regarding who they are or what they may have said or done. Because God loves all people, and all people need him. Whoever comes to you, whoever you go to, should have some point of contact with Jesus because they came in contact with you. Because the scripture says that God isn't willing that any should perish, neither then should we be willing that any should perish. The Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is, there should be no person excluded from our witness. It's lifestyle, not methodology. Thus, it's a personal thing, but it is a relational thing as well. The best evangelism is personal and relational. The best evangelism is the kind where you build authentic, caring relationships with other people. Sometimes it's called redemptive relationships, where people are not seen as merely targets for conversion. Witnessing isn't just taking sinners through a particular plan of salvation, the Romans Road, or if they're Jewish, the Jerusalem Road, but it's establishing a genuine relationship with people where you connect with them. You connect with them where they are at their level of thinking, and you find out what they believe and let them speak. And you go from there and you seek to lead them to him. I think that's the method that Jesus used. It was a lifestyle with him. You think of the people that he spoke to one-on-one, Nicodemus. Nicodemus chose to come to Jesus, and Jesus cut to the chase and told him what eternal life was all about. The woman at the well came for physical water, and Jesus gave her spiritual drink. That woman taken in adultery, Jesus dealt with her about her sin and her need of forgiveness. Zacchaeus, he came to hear Jesus, and Jesus went to his home, and Zacchaeus was never the same. I think of that rich young ruler. Sadly, he didn't get saved, at least at that point. Maybe he did later, and the scripture doesn't record that. But he got it straight between the eyes of what it was that was holding him back from a personal relationship with God. The thief on the cross got saved in contact with the dying Christ. What I'm trying to say is that witnessing is a lifestyle. It's not a methodology. Here's my second point. Witnessing is empowered, not programmed. Witnessing is empowered, not programmed. That is, it's perfectly normal to be involved in an organized outreach like we do from time to time. But if evangelism is your lifestyle, you're going to experience regular, what I call divine appointment. And that happens because if it's your lifestyle, you begin each day asking God to give you a divine appointment, an opportunity to witness, the spiritual awareness to recognize, oh, this is a divine appointment. It's not just that you had a difficulty arise in your day and that you hadn't planned on. No, there's a divine appointment if you've asked God for one. It's being aware of Holy Spirit boldness to take these God-given opportunities, to trust God to enable you. Not to miss them because you're spiritually dull and thus fail to take advantage of them because perhaps you'd be embarrassed or you're fearful. God delights to use you when you're tuned into Him, when you're tuned into His Spirit, and when you're available for Him to use you. He'll lead you. He'll make opportunities for you to share the gospel. He will, as the church at Philadelphia, open to you a door that no man can shut. The Holy Spirit is the one that writes the script, and you follow His prompting, and you will experience authentic, spontaneous interaction with people. You have to mingle with people. You have to show concern for people. You have to meet the needs of people to show that you really care and to reveal to them the love of Christ. I say that witnessing is empowered. It's not programmed. It's an appointment that becomes enablement. Effective witnessing is not the result of you or I being sharp in our apologetics or that we have a particular articulate way of speaking, or that we have superior biblical knowledge or a theological education. But you are a person that has come to depend upon the indwelling, emboldening, and the empowering Holy Spirit. It is enablement. It is a simple trust that God is going to use you. It's not going to be your slick salesmanship. It is that you believe that the Holy Spirit of God has been sent to make you an empowered witness. It is empowered and not programmed. It's that God gives you supernatural power to make the gospel clear and to make the gospel effective. It's empowered, not programmed. My third thought is this. Wisdom in witnessing is something that is done out of love and not out of duty. While sharing the gospel is obviously the believer's obligation that we have to obey, if that's the driving force, then your witnessing will end up becoming mechanical. Your witnessing should not be mechanical. It should not be just a memorized spiel. Your witnessing should be spirit-led and not robotic, not a robotic parroting of some memorized gospel presentation. Duty focuses on fulfilling a requirement to witness. And often, if we're doing it out of duty, we're driven by guilt and obligation, and that can't be sustained. However, love focuses on a person's welfare. Love is, we know that these people need God. We want these people to know Him because He is so wonderful, and we want them to experience His grace that they might have forgiveness and life eternal. And ultimately, We want to glorify and honor the Lord with souls that are saved, that are brought to Christ. So your witness should really fit that person's life, that person's experience, that person's way of thinking, and that person's current actions. And I can't think of a better example than the woman at the well and how Jesus just took a normal daily task that she had, and he turned it into a wonderful opportunity to turn that woman's heart, to see her need, and to see him as the one and only that could meet that need. Love, not duty. If it's out of duty, it's mechanical. It should be intentional. That is, witnessing must never be driven by wanting the approval of other people. Witnessing should never be driven by trying to keep up with others or comparing ourselves with other people. Witnessing has to be intentional. By that, I mean it has to have the right motive. And the right motive is that our witnessing always has to be compelled by the love of Christ. That's the thing that Paul said moved him, motivated him, drove him, compelled him to be the missionary that he was. He says it was the love of Christ that compelled him. That is, he knew what Christ's love was about. He experienced it. He knew he had a growing appreciation for Christ's love for him and for this world. My fourth point is simply this. When we talk about wisdom for witnessing, it is conviction, not pressure. Witnessing is conviction of sin. It's not pressure on people. There is different methods that have been promoted by well-meaning and I think good people that is not always the best. There is one that is called easy believism, in which you simply get a person. You go through the points and you get a person to agree with each point, and then you lead them in the sinner's prayer, and boom, they're saved. And I found that very often the people that use that method, they don't know whether that person's saved, because the person that prayed the prayer doesn't know what they're praying. They don't know what it's all about. It's conviction, it's not pressure. It is something that happens internally in that sinner's heart, and not something that happens as a result of external pressure upon them. There is God's part, and that is he creates conviction of sin. And our part is we simply present the truth of the gospel in order to bring a person to faith in Christ, to win them to Christ. Jesus created human beings with free will, and he will never overpower their will. And I and you should never try to do that either. The Holy Spirit, he convinces sinners of their need by revealing their sinfulness and the judgment that is upon them, that leads them then to a decision. That's what John 16 tells us, that the Holy Spirit of God convicts a person of sin and of righteousness, that is their lack of it, and of judgment because of their sinfulness. There are three parts really that make up believing in Jesus. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. First of all, he gets a person through convincing them, he gets a person to acknowledgement. That is, that they understand that their problem is sin. Because there is not a just man upon the earth that sinneth not, Solomon says. And because of that sin problem, judgment of God is the consequence. In fact, that last book of the Bible, the 20th chapter, talks about a place of eternal suffering called a lake of fire that burns with brimstone or sulfur for eternity. Jesus spoke of it. And Christ alone is the answer. This is the acknowledgement that the Holy Spirit does in convincing sinners. You got a sin problem, and that sin problem has you condemned, and the only way out is through Jesus Christ, who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The second point in the convincing process that the Holy Spirit operates in a sinner's heart not only brings them to acknowledgement, but secondly, he brings them to agreement. That is, that they understand these truths and they personally agree with them and say, yes, I am a sinner and I deserve judgment. And one thing that I often try to do when I get a person to that point, I want them to agree with me that they deserve to go to hell. You know, there's not many people that really think that they deserve to go to hell. And until a person agrees with that, they're not ready for the final step. And so they have to say, yes, I'm a sinner. I deserve judgment. And Christ is my only hope. They agree with that, that I can't contribute anything to my salvation. But they're still not saved. Okay? There's acknowledgement. There is agreement. And to acknowledge and to agree is to believe about Jesus. But that's not salvation. Salvation is believing in Jesus, not about him. It's believing on Jesus. If all you do is believe about Jesus, you're falling short of salvation. So there's acknowledgement, there's agreement. But the third and final step that equals real salvation that the Holy Spirit convinces people of is what I would call commitment. Commitment. And what I mean by that is, based upon their acknowledgement and their agreement, that then person makes a commitment to choose to depend upon Christ alone to save them from sin and judgment. They choose to depend on Jesus, to trust Jesus alone to do all the saving. It's exactly what Jesus himself said. He said that when he was dealing with Nicodemus, and we are told in John chapter 3, I think it's verse 18, that he that believeth on the Son of God hath eternal life. Believeth on, or believeth in, and not about. And that's the key. And that's the four thoughts that the Lord gave me to share with you tonight. Wisdom in witnessing. Number one, it's a lifestyle, not methodology. Number two, it's to be empowered, not programmed. Number three, it's love, not duty. And number four, it's conviction, not pressure.